Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, 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 Georgia.
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
The cornballs get stolen.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined once again by my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake, puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. We are back. It is officially September 1st. Labor Day weekend is upon us. College football in realness kicked off last night. We have action tonight, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, and every single weekend until the middle of January. Jake, it is great to be back with you. How are you doing, my man?
Dude, what is up? Excited to be back. Man, it's fall. Man, being up in D.C., camp's over, camp's breaking, moving into week one of the season. Yeah. And the weather has even started to turn a little bit up there in D.C. You know, I know it's still a little hot down here in Georgia, but man, excited for football season. It's here. It's back. And man, I'm excited to be back and ready to roll.
Absolutely. We have a lot to talk to you about. You had an eventful training camp. You made some huge headlines heading into year four in the National Football League. So I will definitely touch on that in just one second. But first things first, I do want to let everybody know that this episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. Now is the best time to get involved in Prize Picks. And if you download the app or go to prizepicks.com and use the promo code PUNT, P-U-N-T, PUNT, you can get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. How does it work? Prize Picks is the best daily fantasy game in the market. You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they go more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win 25x your money on any entry. Again, best time is now. NFL starts next week. College football currently going on. Major League Baseball is rocking. Braves Dodgers this weekend. Acuna went yard with a grand slam last night. First Major League Baseball player in history to have a 30 home run, 60 stolen base season. Still a month left to go. Absolutely unbelievable. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. 100% instant deposit match up to $100. I'm giving you my DB3 piece later on in the show. PrizePicks.com, promo code PUNT. We love Prize Picks. All right, need a quick recap of your training camp. I was up watching, and I talked about it for a while on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. There was a lot of lead up in the second preseason game when the Washington Commanders hosted the Baltimore Ravens. The Monday Night Football crew was there, nationally televised on ESPN, a record that will never, ever be broken in the history of the National Football League. The Ravens winning 24-25 consecutive preseason games dating back to 2015, really just insane. And Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are on the call, Jake. You come in the fourth quarter. You lead two consecutive scoring drives. Joey Sly hits like a 50-ish yarder. You let out a big scream. Troy Aikman says, this is the greatest preseason game I've ever been involved in. Joe Buck says, this feels like a playoff game. I was sitting on my couch laughing going, football is so back, I'm fired up. That was so great. You had an awesome preseason. Now you're back with the Washington Commanders heading into year four. So first, congratulations. Would love to hear a quick recap of your training camp.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Training camp was good, man. We have a great group of guys, got a good thing going up in DC under new ownership. Man, you can just kind of feel it in the building. Man, things are just kind of rolling and rolling in the right direction. So myself personally had a pretty good training camp, man. Really felt like my arm has some juice to it. I was just understanding the concepts and what they wanted to get done with each play, and was able to make a few plays during camp and then during the few preseason games. That game in particular was pretty fun. We had practice with the Ravens leading up to that game. So, you know, we got to see them a little bit. Things maybe got a little bit chippy at practice. I'm sure you probably saw a few videos of that. And so I think both sides wanted it a little bit. And maybe there was just a slight bit more of sense of urgency maybe on the field, you know, for a preseason game than would usually be there. But man, I was just sitting there, you know, as a third QB on the roster, just waiting to get thrown to the game. You know, you start warming up at 5 o'clock, you know, for an 8 o'clock game to get put into the game at 11 o'clock at night. So,
I didn't think about
you know,
that.
You're staying loose for an amazing amount of time there. But just trying to stay really sharp, really focused in and locked in. And man, our guys made some plays and we were able to get it done.
Tell our audience what those inner squad scrimmages are like, because with the lesser amount of preseason games now, it seems like more teams are doing that to get good work, get good reps, get best on best, figure out what that's like on your team. I want you to tell us what those practices are like. And then leading up to the actual game, was it discussed amongst the Commanders, hey, we want to beat these guys, we want to end the streak?
Yeah, so that specifically was never never said. I mean, it's just, hey, you know, it's a preseason game.
You play to win.
You play to win. Yeah, like, you don't go out there and say, you know, who cares? You know, as an offense, each and every unit who goes in, like, we're looking to score, and you want efficient drives, right? You want to score on your drives. You know, you either want to end the possession with the ball or with a kick, right? So for me, the squad scrimmages against another team, like, that was the first time I've ever done that. And a lot of guys, you know, kind of coming in with me, you know, year four, year three, year five, you know, we really never got to do that because of the COVID year in 2020. Right. And so it really kind of just started coming back. And it was a first time experience for me. It was quite interesting. Man, got to see a whole new facility, you know, the Ravens and how they do things. Which is pretty cool. They have a great facility there. I got to see Roquan, got to see Ben Cleveland.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
So that, man, that's always cool. Go compete against some different guys that aren't your guys. But it can definitely get a little bit chippy out there because you don't have a personal relationship with a guy, and he can, you know, you always worry in the back of your mind that he can make you look bad, right? If I'm a lineman going in one-on-ones there, I got, you know, there's not a mutual respect there to say, hey, I'm gonna hold you up there at the end if I beat you, or a receiver beating a DB. Like, man, they are going so hard, it is balls to the wall.
They're celebrating, they're talking shit, they're in each other's faces. Yeah,
it is life or death out there. Like, it's even more intense than a game would be, man, because nobody wants to get done up, nobody wants to get quote unquote did or shown up in any capacity, nobody wants to make Twitter highlight, like, man, look what this guy did on this guy. So it's pretty intense, and there's a lot going on out there.
That's awesome. Obviously, you performed really well. You got into the fourth quarter of that game. You led those two scoring drives, which was totally awesome. Again, tons of love from the ESPN crew and on social media. I mean, calling you the GOAT, preseason GOAT, that was awesome. I mean, it was so fun to watch. And then you backed it up with another great performance in the third preseason game, and you're back with the Commanders heading into season four. So huge congratulations to that, man. You earned it. Eric Bieniemy is your offensive coordinator. New juice for the Commanders, man. And that NFC East is going to be a lot of fun to follow. Obviously, the Eagles, who had lost the close Super Bowl a year ago, the Dallas Cowboys have a lot of excitement as well. The Giants, a team that you've played for, and the Commanders. So that's going to be one of the more competitive divisions throughout the NFL. Congrats to you again. One of the reasons why I think you performed so well is because you worked your ass off all offseason. And a lot of times you were around the Georgia football team, staying in Athens, working out at the facility. And I'm transitioning into a conversation around Kirby Smart having named Carson Beck the starting quarterback. I thought it was fascinating. And again, you played for Kirby. I thought it was fascinating that Kirby Smart came out two and a half weeks before the season and said, Carson's the starting quarterback. We've communicated it to the other guys. He's got the best command of the offense. He knows what the coaches expect of him. The other guys trust him. Going into year eight, I believe. I mean, that's the first time, Jake, he's ever done that. What's different about Carson Beck? Because I know you know Brock. I know you know Gunner. I know you know Carson. You're around these guys. This is his time to shine. And, buddy, this quest for the three-peat, it starts this weekend, which is really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, coming from the same perspective as you, to me, that's very surprising. That's against the mold of what Coach Smart does.
I mean, you never got that. Hell no.
I know Brock and I know Gunner, great football players, but I think that's a testament to how well Carson has done during camp and this offseason of, you know, taking the reins and being the starting quarterback, doing all the things that a starting quarterback does at the University of Georgia. And I think he's done a great job at it because he got the nod 2 weeks before the first game. And knowing Coach Smart, he likes to keep his cards close. Any competitive advantage there is, he's going to keep it.
I mean, dude, you won an SEC championship. You won a Rose Bowl. You were one play away from winning a national championship. And you were in the same situation in the fact that you had five stars behind you. And they didn't even name you the starter until the first week of the next season. That's crazy. So man, good for Carson, right?
Great for Carson, man. You gotta earn it. Like, it's a big deal. Don't take it lightly, because that's a tough thing to do. And he was able to do it. And I mean, because of this, like, I'm expecting even more bigger things than I was beforehand. So I think we should be, you know, expectful of some big things coming out this Saturday, and for him to go out and score touchdowns on each and every single drive he gets.
I mean, how can you not, with the amount of talent around him at the skill positions, with that offensive line, which is literally bigger than most NFL offensive lines? I mean, Amarius Mims is probably going to be a top five pick. Brock Bowers could potentially be a top five pick. I mean, he has Carson Beck, an embarrassment of riches at his dispense. And I think Coach Bobo is in a great situation as well, having been at Georgia the last couple of years under Todd Monken, to say, okay, I know exactly what I got, and here's how I'm going to put these guys in the best situation.
Yeah, to go back here, to go forwards, Coach Monken is now the OC at the Baltimore Ravens. Got to see him as well. Man, he was dialing it up for the Ravens in practice, was dialing it up for them during the game. So, man, Coach Munkin's on it. He calls a great game, got some good things going with his offense. But for Coach Bobo to be there, to be around that, to come back here, you know, for his second go around, man, I think we're all expecting big things, you know, a new, slightly different twist on the Coach Bobo offense. And I'm excited to see it. Yeah. I don't know exactly what to expect, how they want to attack and use certain guys, but man, they got a lot of guys in that skill room, and they got a lot of guys in the running back room as well. Obviously, don't forget about the tight ends, and
it's gonna be
fun to watch. I think
no doubt it's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. We'll get into that a little bit more. We're gonna touch on the UT Martin Georgia game here in just a bit. Speaking of fun to watch, and conversely, not fun to watch, Florida Gators last night. Brutal kickoff game. They lost to Utah 24-11 in Salt Lake City. Utah, a top 15 team, defending Pac-12 champs. Their starting quarterback, Cam Rising, who tore his ACL in the Rose Bowl last year, did not play. I said it on the radio in Atlanta. I still like Utah because they've had all offseason to prepare for this. It's not like the quarterback was lost the week before the game and they're having to shuffle things around. Florida, on the other side, lost Anthony Richardson, their starting quarterback. Billy Napier was in his first year a year ago. Stepping into year two, Graham Mertz, transfer quarterback from Wisconsin. The talent pool is not up to the usual Florida standards. And, dude, it was 24-3 for a long time. Yeah. Offense looked lost. Tons of penalties in bad situations. Third and short. Fourth down, kicking the ball away. Penalties that extend drives for the other teams. Turnovers. You cannot be happy if you're a Florida fan having watched that game last night. And, you know, I see a lot of chatter this morning around the Pac-12 beating up on the SEC. I mean, Florida could legitimately be one of the worst teams in the SEC this upcoming season, which is crazy to think.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, I didn't get to watch as much games as I wanted to. I was traveling from DC back to, you know, our house here in Georgia for a good little, you know, getaway weekend.
Yes, sir.
Before the season starts. But man, I'm looking up these stats here. You know, Utah 270 total yards, Florida 346. Like, Florida did some good things. They had 333 passing yards. They only had 13 rushing yards for the entire football game. So, I mean, Florida just didn't look good. I feel like they kind of beat themselves up a lot. Like, I mean, just they're 1 for 13 on third down. They were 4 on 4th a lot. I mean, it's just like just not.
They were 0 for 9 on third down at one point. I mean, they couldn't get to move the ball.
Just not good ball, man. It's not what you want to see. You know, you got altitude. You got to go into a different, you know, different scenery. You know, an away game. Like, but to me, it doesn't matter. Like, you're the University of Florida. Man, you should be able to go into any kind of environment and be able to say, like, hey, we're the Florida Gators. It doesn't matter. We're a good football team. But, man, that is not the case, man. And Utah really I wouldn't say they crushed them, but I would say they didn't lose the game. And they dominated what they needed to dominate. And, man, they whooped up on them for a long time in the game. And the score doesn't really dictate how well they did.
I know you have a pretty good relationship, at least getting recruited and throughout college football, and even when you were in the pros with Billy Napier, the head coach.
Yeah.
He's in a tough position in this day and age of college football. Like, do you think this season's do or die for him? If you keep trotting out performances like that, where you're shooting yourself in the foot, you're undisciplined, dare I say unprepared, that is a bad referendum on one person and one person only, and that's the head coach.
Yeah, that it never looks good. And the way college football is now, it is a quote-unquote win-now business. And it's like, what have you done for me lately? Even more than I think the NFL is. And, man, for them to go out and do kind of what they did, the execution part, man, not playing good, clean football, that doesn't look good. And it is, on the head coach to be able to say, like, this is all on you. We got to play good, clean ball, and we got to at least look good doing it.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely going to kind of fall back on him, and we'll kind of see where the season goes. And if they start putting a few of these performances out on the field, it could get bad quick.
And they have a very, very tough schedule as well. I just want to touch on that real quick before we do dive into week one, because as you just mentioned, the season is here. I'm so fired up. It's going to be an awesome weekend. I'm not doing anything. The weather here, Jake's going to be perfect. 80 degrees tomorrow.
Mm.
Perfect. Probably going to get on the rec tech, hang out. I ain't doing anything. Florida's schedule. They just lost to Utah. Home against Tennessee in a couple of weeks. At Kentucky, which could be a sneaky tough game for them. At South Carolina. Georgia in Jacksonville. At LSU late in the season. And then wrapping things up against Florida State, who's got a big game this weekend. So
yeah,
they need to figure it out and figure it out quick. Yeah. That was interesting to watch last night. And then last night, the other game, Nebraska-Minnesota, unreal finish, unreal catch by the wide receiver at Minnesota. I don't know if you saw that.
Nuh-uh.
To tie the game with less than 3 minutes left, literally catch of the year type performance by him. Then Nebraska, who is just absolutely snake bit in the last 7 years in one score games, throws a pick late. Minnesota, a couple of plays, sets up a field goal. They win it in regulation. So Nebraska dominated that football game, but they did cover. So tough look for Matt Rhule in their first tilt at the helm of the Cornhuskers. The Big Ten should be pretty interesting this year. All right, before we dive in to week one and get Jake's thoughts, I do want to remind you this episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our friends at Prize Picks. I got my Prize Picks shirt on right here. They got a brand new logo. They got all new branding. It's sick. I'm waiting for my new merch to come in. Head on over to prizepicks.com, download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT, P-U-N-T, PUNT. You get an instant deposit match of 100% up to $100. And all you have to do is pick 2 to 6 players. If they go more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win 25x your money on any entry. I've got my DB3 piece right now. Get your phones out, people. I just put mine in. Here's what you need to do for this weekend. We'll start with tonight. That's right, Friday night. Get in early. Hawaii hosts Stanford. Hawaii just lost to Vanderbilt last week. Stanford, new head coach. Stanford's running back is EJ Smith, son of Emmett Smith. I think Hawaii wins this game. I think Stanford does score a little bit, and one of those scores will be a rushing touchdown by EJ Smith over a half a rushing touchdown. EJ Smith's the first square on the DB3 piece. Saturday, Devin Leary, probably the top transfer quarterback in the SEC at Kentucky, coming from NC State. Kentucky plays Ball State. That's who Georgia plays in week two. Offensive coordinator Liam Cohen, he's going to want to air it out and show off his new toy in Devin Leary. Devin Leary, over 228 and a half passing yards. And then wrapping things up, I think this is going to be a safe one all season long. Caleb Williams against Nevada, reigning Heisman Trophy winner, over 3.5 passing, rushing, receiving touchdowns total. That's it. DB3 piece, Prize Picks, Labor Day weekend, promo code PUNT, 100% deposit match, up to $100. Let's get rolling. Let's get rolling. All right, Jake, let's dive into week one. A team that is going to be in front of a lot of people, whether you like it or not, are the Colorado Buffaloes. Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, season one at his Power Five school, mixing up the headlines. They're heading to Fort Worth to take on the national runner-ups from a year ago, 17th-ranked TCU. Colorado, complete overhaul of the roster. Tons of transfers from Deion's former school, Jackson State, and elsewhere. Travis Hunter, former number one overall recruit, five-star. Shedeur Sanders is going to be their quarterback. I don't know. Like, all I'm saying, Jake, is whether you like them or not, Colorado's going to be in your face all season long.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And then when you said it, it was just a blast from the past that TCU is the national championship runner-ups.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, man. Like, that just kind of blows my mind a little bit.
Here's another thing that's crazy. TCU's quarterback heading into this year, his name escapes me right now. Garrett Green. No, I'll find the name. But Chandler Morris is TCU's quarterback. Chandler Morris was the starting quarterback a year ago, got injured in week one. Max Duggan took over. Does that sound familiar, Jake?
Yeah, it does.
Maybe somebody else on this Zoom call had done that in the past, but it wasn't
me.
It was you.
Wow.
So yeah. Chandler Morris gets his opportunity once again. This is a guy with some talent, so we'll see what happens with TCU.
Yeah, that's crazy. Man, what I want to see from Colorado, man, are they gonna play just good, clean football? Are they gonna be able to substitute? Are they gonna make, you know, good timeouts, good situational football decisions? You know, one thing we won't be able to see on the TV, man, are they out like stretching? Is everything clean? Is it cut? Is everything sliced perfectly? You know, you just want to go out and you want to be clean. You want to play some good football, you know, not what we saw from Florida last night. You want to see some just good execution football. Can they execute on third down? The small things. You want to do the little things here in this game. And if you can see that from the TV, like, no matter what the score is of the game, like, I think that's a win for them. You know,
building
I'm not in
blocks.
Yeah, I'm not into the participation trophy kind of thing, but I do think the expectations are out of this world for that football team, that football program. But Deion Sanders is the head coach, and we'll see where it goes and where he can lead them. But I do just want to see them do the little things in this game. And I think that'll be a building block for them moving forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I would definitely agree with that. I'm most interested to see how they respond when they get punched in the face, because undoubtedly they will, most likely all season long. I mean, they won a game a year ago. Their projection is 3.5 total wins this season. TCU, the cupboard is not bare. When you're looking at coaching matchup, Sonny Dykes with tons of experience as a Power Five head coach against Deion Sanders, that's tilted heavily towards Sonny Dykes. And a lot of these guys back from a year ago, lots of experience on TCU side. Another thing I do want to note, supposed to be like 100 in Fort Worth this weekend, middle of the day, 12 p.m. kickoff. Colorado's been up at elevation in that nice cool weather in the mountains. This one could get ugly. I will be looking for sound fundamental football from Colorado, see how they're taking to that new coaching from Coach Prime. What's he going to look like? What are his antics going to be? When it comes down to the scoreboard, though, TCU should wipe the floor with them. I'll lay 20.5 with TCU. Next game, Jake, the Dukes Mayo kickoff game, the Battle of the Carolinas. Number 21, North Carolina, taking on South Carolina. This game's in Charlotte, Saturday night. North Carolina is a 2.5-point favorite. I will say the quarterback matchup here, top two quarterback matchup this weekend, the other one being the Sunday night game, Drake May, Spencer Rattler, lots of chatter around UNC. Could they make some noise in the ACC this season? Can their defense pick up the slack? But South Carolina finished unbelievably a year ago, knocking off Tennessee and Clemson back-to-back weeks.
I agree. I think you hit the nail on the head. Can North Carolina play defense, and can South Carolina stay on this hot streak that they finished with to end last season? So that's something we're going to love to see. And I think kind of it'll kind of be a common theme, and I think in all these games showing up, is the conditioning level. Do not underestimate that in these early game matchups of, man, which teams kind of lose their wind and can't keep up with the conditioning. Man, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's just a
different.
Yeah. Like, you know, you do summer conditioning and nothing prepares you for actual practice conditioning. And you can practice all you want, but nothing really prepares you for game conditioning. So it's just this never ending battle that you always seem to lose as a football player. You just can never get in enough shape. So be watching that. And I think South Carolina may have some more dudes to be able to roll in there. But I do love the quarterback matchup, man, Drake May and Spencer Rattler here. Sam Howell talks about Drake all the time, how he's just an absolute baller. So expect some big things this season from him.
Pretty cool to see Shane Beamer find that success. A lot of expectation in Columbia. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks that they'll knock off Georgia or make it to the SEC championship, but the trajectory that he has the program on is exciting for Gamecock fans. He's recruiting at a pretty high level as well. And man, is it just me or does it seem like Spencer Rattler's been in school forever?
Yeah,
this is crazy. This will be a good matchup though. This will be a good matchup. I'll go North Carolina. I'll go North Carolina. I'll lay the 2.5 North Carolina. So that's my thought there. I don't really have a good feel on South Carolina. You mentioned it. Like, they always have dudes. The defense is always pretty stacked. I just think I think North Carolina will be able to put up some points. And they're built to shoot it out for sure.
For me, I never know which Spencer Rattler I'm going to get.
I know. You can't trust the guy. Can't trust the guy.
You know?
Not like, in week one.
Man, I saw him play, you know, lights out versus Tennessee. And then I've just seen some of the most atrocious football I've ever seen, you know, against, you know, some other opponents. So
yeah,
you just never know, but
it's gonna be a good game.
I also see this being an absolute shootout, like 47-48.
Ooh.
maybe in the 50s.
I
mean, just,
I like
just no defense involved. Everybody just game airing planned up, airing it out.
I love it. UT Martin at number one, Georgia, 6 PM kick between the hedges, the quest for the three-peat starts. What's to expect here as a starting quarterback going into a game where you know you're going to win? This is so much different than how Georgia has had to approach in seasons past with big neutral site games, top 10 opponents. I also do think the timing is right for a guy like Carson Beck, for a coach like Mike Bobo, to be able to ease their way into a season to find out what you have. And when I say find out what you have, Jake, I'm not necessarily talking about the talent on the roster. I'm talking about situational football, third down plays, third and long, getting behind the chains. How do you get back on track? 4-minute offense before halftime and 2-minute offense with whoever's in the game late in the game. Situational football and how you execute that against any other opponent is big to get ready for a South Carolina in week 3 or an Auburn in week 5. And then heading into the later part of the season. Am I on the right thought there? I'd love you to tell us, what's Carson Beck thinking heading into this game?
Yeah, 100% you're on the right track. If I'm Carson in this scenario, man, I want to go out and I want, like, my goal is to score on each drive I'm in the game. Like, that's the goal. We got to go score. There's no reason these guys should stop us from doing what we want to do. We're going to go, you know, this is a slogan out of Kirby's playbook here. We're going to go impose our will on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, you know, if we want to run the football, so be it. We're going to go run the football. If we want to throw the football, we're going to go throw the football, because it shouldn't matter, because we're better than you. It is what it is. And I want to go play clean. I want to complete balls. I want to move the chains. and like the little things on third down, man, we want to execute on third down. Like you said, you know, I want to get a 2-minute drive in before the half. And I want to see my guys like in the huddle, out on the field. I want to see their eyes like, hey, are they about this? Can they do this? Who can I trust out here? When the bullets are flying, when the lights are on, to go out and compete and make a play for me. That's what I'm looking for.
I mean, it's going to be a live atmosphere. Obviously, everybody's fired up to get back in Sanford Stadium. First night game in what seems like forever. They'll have butterflies. I don't care who they're playing.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be good to see how they react in those moments. And I've said this, Jake, tell me your thoughts here. I think one of the reasons why Kirby Smart named Carson Beck the starting quarterback 2.5 weeks before the season, which has never happened in his tenure going into his eighth year at Georgia. I think the reason why he did that is because his relationship with Carson Beck, Kirby and Carson, is going to be significantly different than the relationship he had with Stetson Bennett. And what I mean by that is him and Stetson were both fiery, fierce competitors. Kirby trusted Stetson to treat him in a way that he knew Stetson would respond, put him third quarterback. Oh, you know what? Hey, get in the game. Go save us. Hey, you're back down. Hey, if you throw two picks, I'm going to take you out of the game. Stetson was always looking over his shoulder, right? And then it came where they would almost chirp at each other during a game. I think Kirby knows he's going to have a different relationship with Carson, right? Treat him differently, which is not uncommon, but name him the starter. Show him that respect. I'm really interested to see how Kirby and Carson interact during the game. I think that's going to be huge for all Georgia fans to tell.
Yeah, I think so as well. Man, you know, he knew he can kind of get after me a little bit and get the best out of me. So he let me have it a couple times on game day. I'd say each and every game day, he would at least lay into me at least once. But, you know, he knew he could do that with me. Not saying he can't with Carson or what, but
yeah, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
You just never know. Like there's definitely a different relationship there. Kind of with each guy. It doesn't matter who that guy is, but the difference is that relationship is different. It is special. And that's part of it, man. And you're putting all your trust in your program and that guy to go make a play, and we'll see if it pays off.
Yeah, going to be fun to watch. Take notes on Saturday night. Georgia obviously will put up a big number. I'd be surprised if UT Martin scores. I think I saw Dave McMahon put a statistic out this morning. Georgia, since I got it right here, this is pretty interesting. Georgia, since where'd it go? Come on. All right, I got it.
There you go.
Since 2017, Georgia leads the SEC in holding the most opponents to 10 points or less. 34 games, Georgia has held opponents to 10 points or less since 2017. Alabama is second at 31. Here's another great stat from Dave McMahon, stat guru who represents Georgia. Georgia's defense has scored in season openers under Kirby Smart 4 times. 2016 against North Carolina, Roquan tackled a receiver in the end zone for a safety. 2020 against Arkansas, Mark Webb and Azeez Ojulari forced a player out of the back of the end zone for a safety. 2020 against Arkansas, again, Eric Stokes, 30-yard interception return for a touchdown. And 2021 in Charlotte against Clemson, a play most will remember, yep. Christopher Smith, 74-yard interception return for a touchdown. I would probably guess Georgia's defense scores a touchdown this week.
Probably so. That's a great stat, man. And then also going back to the 10 points or less, 34 times.
Since 2017, dude, that's a lot.
That is insane. That is some good defense, and that's playing for all four quarters, even with, you know, some backups maybe in the game. I mean, that's a big deal.
No doubt about it. All right, let's go to the Sunday night game. We'll wrap this thing up. Number 5 LSU at number 8 Florida State versus number 8 Florida State. Neutral site game in Orlando, the Camping World kickoff game. Pretty fast track down there on that artificial turf. 8 p.m. Sunday night kick. LSU right now, 2-point favorite. Great matchup here. Great matchup. Two quarterbacks with Heisman hopes. Jaden Daniels coming back for LSU. Jordan Travis coming back for Florida State. Two teams that are being picked to play in their conference championship games. LSU, a lot of love out of the SEC West. Florida State now in the ACC with no divisions. So the top two teams go to the ACC championship. High hopes in Tallahassee, brother.
Yeah.
High hopes in Baton Rouge. What gives in a game like this?
Dude, you're telling me, man. I'll be the first to admit I was a little wrong on the LSU Tigers last year. I just I wasn't a believer in it. Man, they somehow battled their way throughout the entire season. Won some games there late and ended up in the SEC championship game. So can they do it again? I mean, you know, obviously you have to go through Bama. And then who else is going to really challenge them?
I'd be interested to see your brother at Auburn. I mean, Hugh Freeze, new juice. Auburn's going to sneak up and get somebody at some point this season.
Yeah, I agree. They will get somebody. I don't know if they're quite there yet, where they're truly competing for the West, but I do think they will quote unquote slip up and get somebody, when they're sleeping, a little bit. But man, LSU, Florida State, both teams have high hopes. Man, I think I'm going to be on the LSU bandwagon.
Are you? See, I'm on the other side. You know, really? Harold Perkins, one of the best defensive players in the SEC and in the nation. He's on LSU. Will he continue to be a game wrecker? I think Mike Norvell is one of the better game planners. Okay, so I think Florida State's going to come out with a great game plan. I understand the history of SEC coaches heading into their second year, much like Kirby did at Georgia when you led them to a national championship, Jake. Brian Kelly, the expectations that are at LSU after making the SEC championship game a year ago, after beating Alabama on the last play of the game a year ago, I don't know. I think it might be too high of a hill to climb. And this game particularly going to have a lot of implications on the college football playoff later in the season. Going to have a lot of implications on the Heisman race later in the season between these two quarterbacks as well. I just think it's going to be a really close game, much like it was a year ago in New Orleans when it came down to a blocked extra point. I think these two teams are very evenly matched as well. They're almost built identically. Florida State has some dudes on the D-line. I think that limits Jaden Daniels' effectiveness with his legs. So I'll take Florida State here. I'm going to take them to win outright. Should be a great game. That will be game of the weekend. That's definitely quarterback matchup of the weekend. Jaden Daniels and Jordan Travis, followed closely by Drake May and Spencer Rattler. Tune in for that one. Gonna be a ton of fun. Last but not least, number 9 Clemson hits the road on Monday night. This is wrapping up the college football Labor Day weekend to take on Duke. ACC matchup. Labor Day, Monday night, number 9 Clemson at Duke, 8 p.m. Right now, Clemson's a 13-point favorite. Mike Elko heading into his second season at Duke. I think they have 9 or 10 returning starters on the offense, led by quarterback Riley Leonard. Clemson on the flip side, Cade Klubnik finally taken over. Garrett Riley is their new offensive coordinator who came from TCU a year ago, so expect a little bit more of high-flying power for Clemson on the offensive side of the ball. Don't forget about Will Shipley, though, Clemson's running back. I would expect them to be pretty balanced. I just think this is going to be a close game, too. Clemson probably wins, but on the road, 40,000-seat stadium, Jake, I want you to talk about those types of environments. Conference game to kick things off. This one stays close. Give me Duke in a close one. Clemson wins by a touchdown.
Dude, this is a big game. I think it's a lot of respect for Duke that Clemson's a top 10 team and they're only a 13-point favorite. So, man, a lot of respect and I think maybe a lot of big things expected from Duke this season. But I am excited to see this Coach Riley Cade Klubnik duo throughout the season and what they're able to do on offense. You know, everybody's kind of always given Clemson, you know, maybe they're not, slightly more of a gimmicky offense or a little more high school offense than kind of what everybody else is doing. And it's going to be fun to watch them and what they do and be able to move guys around, get some matchups and really just let Cade go off and play ball, man. Get this guy not thinking, let him and his talents just take over and let him play football like he knows best. So, I like Clemson this one, obviously, but where Clemson can go, I think it's going to show a lot in this football game of what they can do later on down the season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So We're locked in for a ton of great football. I know you're back down south. Auburn's taking on UMass, who actually looked pretty good last week in week zero.
Yeah, UMass, dude, they did.
Yeah,
they
so sure that'll did. Be a good game to kick off the Hugh Freeze era. I'm sure Jordan-Hare Stadium will be rocking. That game's at 3:30 on ESPN. So, again, the weather's going to be fantastic all weekend long. I'm so glad you're back on Punt and Pass. Nothing better, man. Football season's here.
Dude, man, I'm so happy, man. I'm blessed. Football's back. And I mean, what more can we ask, man? No. Let's just see you ready for the season. I'm excited to be back here, man. Talking let's to you. Go. This is awesome. Let's go have a fun year.
Go. Thank you so much, Jake. This episode of Punt and Pass presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. Again, my DB3 piece is going to be posted. Check it out. 100% deposit match up to $100. Use the promo code PUNT. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram, puntandpass.com. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake. Jake, anything on the way out, my man?
Dude, man, just lock in, have some good food, spend some good time with some folks, man, and don't miss a snap.
Yes, sir. We're all Commanders fans as well. NFL season kicks off next weekend. Jake and I will talk to you on Monday. See ya.
We are.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.